Time now to recap the McCook City Council meeting from last night. In our studio is City Manager Nate Schneider. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Rich?
Doing good. It looks like you're going out to shoot 18 holes of golf.
I wish I was going out to shoot 18 holes of golf. No, I don't get to do that today, but I'll dream about that.
Yeah,
it's nice. So, yeah. Now I get to watch Abby play tennis. So
oh, you're going for Lexington today.
Yeah,
that's
good. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Season over for Coach Weimers and the gang today.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Back-to-back home matches Tuesday, Thursday. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Gotta love those home matches. No travel.
It makes it nice not having to travel.
Yeah.
We get enough traveling during the course of the year, so take advantage of the home matches while you can.
Exactly right. Councilman Gene Wheaton is back with us once again.
Good morning.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
You know, the other day, the Cardinals played the Astros, and you did beat my team the other day. I just about called you. I just about gave you a call.
Yep.
Well, but it's only spring training.
Well, the real season starts tomorrow. You know that, with the Dodgers and the Padres in Korea. So
biting at the bit to get things going, aren't
they
you?
They are, yep.
You bet.
I'm ready.
All right, let's get to the agenda from last night. This was kind of a pretty mild or light agenda, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We had some issues that we were dealing with. You know, we had some council members that were away for various items, and I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to be there. And so we kept it pretty short by design in order to make sure that we didn't get too much on our plate. So it was a short agenda and a fairly short meeting. But some important things that were included in there.
Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
Nothing.
Nothing last night. Consent agenda, anything pulled for discussion?
Nothing was pulled, but I want to talk about one thing is that the ambulance rates, we raise those. And I'll just explain some quickly. In 2022, the city of McCook Fire Department was one of several ambulance services that was chosen to participate in a mandatory evaluation of ambulance operation costs that was being conducted by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And this was a year-long study that was started in October of 2022 and ended in September of 2023. The study required the city to track all ambulance-related expenses for the year. So every week, Chief Hartman had to return in, okay, how many calls do we make? How many man hours? How much fuel do we use? What medicines, et cetera? And as a result, then, the CMS issued an updated ambulance fee schedule that took into consideration the expenses associated with operating an ambulance services. And so this is what we did. We raised the rates, and this helps us then to pay for our expenses, but also put away money for future if we need to buy future equipment. So that's what we did last night. So there's an increase. It's not the top of the line. It's not the bottom of the line. Chief Harpin told me last night that basically he just kind of tried to stay in the middle of the range. They give us a range, I think, low and high that you could charge, and so we just did the middle. So that's why we did it last night, though.
Anything else on?
That was it. Nothing else was pulled on consent.
We did re-up. We actually bid out our farm lease west of town, over by Hancock Gravel, the current tenants, which I say the Myers brothers, but I think this one is, if I remember, it is Myers brothers. They had the winning bid. They bid $120.22 per acre, which was a fairly substantial increase from our prior per acre price that we were receiving. And so they'll be out on that ground for the years to come, and they do a really good job. We appreciate everything that they've done out there. They are good stewards of our land and great to work with. So we were happy that they got that bid, and hopefully they find it profitable for them as well. So,
regular agenda. We'll start first ordinance on the water department rates and fees.
We've talked about this a few times. I think it was probably about two meetings ago or so. Matt Stoffel with PFM made his presentation as far as his findings with respect to what water rates should be, water and sewer rates, what they should be in order to make sure that we're able to pay not just for our current expenses, but also for our big future expenses that we know that we have. And I'm just going to go ahead and lump both the water and the sewer together because they're both part of the same enterprise fund, even though they're different sources of payment. They're similar in the way that they're set up. So we know that on the wastewater side, We've been working with Miller and Associates to develop an engineering plan, which we just had presented to the council this past November. And in the plan, it provided a couple of different options as far as what the city of McCook needs to do in order to upgrade its wastewater treatment facilities. Our current facilities are 50 years old, in some cases 70 or 80 years old. Some of this property was improved back in the 50s, and so we probably have one of the oldest wastewater treatment plants still in operation. We actually have the RBC method of cleaning the water, which are those big wheels that just spin constantly that weigh, you know, tons and tons and tons, and eventually they wear out that axle, the axle breaks, and you have to replace that or remove that big wheel. Well, we're down to 11 RBCs. If we go too fewer, then at that point in time, it becomes emergency. So we've done some preventative maintenance to try to make sure that we keep this for as long as we possibly can operational. We know that 2026 is the plan. That's the date that Miller's has given us as far as when we're going to start construction of the new wastewater treatment plant. But we've gotten about as much good as we can out of that wastewater treatment plant. You know, I think that we're probably the last community that I'm familiar with that actually runs an RBC system. And so we've nickeled and dimed it for years and years. And at some point in time, you can't continue to do that. You need to make sure that you're upgrading so that way you've got a facility that meets the current standards, which the standards keep on getting more and more stringent. As time goes by, the standards for releasing into the Republican River become more stringent. And in order for us to meet that, we have to make sure that we've got a method that's going to allow for us to do so. And so we're looking at the MBR or SBR method. We looked at the MLE method. One's more expensive than the other. The MLE is more expensive than the SBR, so that was part of the consideration. But also the SBR is probably an easier fit. It's more automatic. That was maybe the downside to it. But it's an easier process. It's more condensed. We don't need to have nearly the same amount of equipment. We looked at a plant up in Broken Bow that uses the same method and spoke with people that ran that plant, and they were all very happy with the plant. We looked at Lexington. They had the MLE plant, and it was a beautiful plant. I guess as beautiful as a wastewater treatment plant can be. But there are a lot of steps along the way that we thought, okay, maybe for a town Lexington size with the kind of industry they have, it makes more sense. But for us, the smaller method probably made more sense. But that still comes with a price tag of $13 to $15 million. And so we got to figure out how to pay for that. And so the rates that we're looking at on the wastewater side will help pay for those upgrades, as well as the other things we need to do to make sure that we're operating our plant right now the way that we need to operate it to get to 2026. On the water side, I know our plan is about 20 years old. It was it actually came online in 2006. And it doesn't feel like it's that old, but I guess we're all starting to realize that 20 years, you know, it's not a short period of time. And there are a lot of things out there at the water treatment plant that we know have to be done in order to make sure that we produce the best water that we possibly can for the people here in McCook. And we were just kind of talking about the history. I mean, all this predates us. You know, the people that are currently on the council or the people that are working over at the city, you know, what happened in the 2000s, early 2000s, that predates us. But we are responsible for making sure that we operate that plant and have good water, and the consequences of those decisions, those are our responsibilities. And so one of the problems that you have at the current location is it's high in manganese. We've got three wells that are high in manganese, and there was no filtration system that was built at the heads. So we need to build a filtration system. We think that that's going to reduce some of the red water concerns that people have. Not that the red water is dangerous. You know, it's a natural occurring element, and it doesn't present health problems. However, we know that that's something that we need to touch on, and we're very aware when people complain and have concerns, even if they go to Facebook and not come to us, we know what's going on, and so we got to come up with a way to make sure that we address that problem. But the only way that we think that you can really address it is by creating and implementing a filtration system at the head of the works to cover the three wells that are high in manganese, and that's about a $5 million price tag that goes along with that. In addition, our vessels, they're 20 years old. They need to be repaired and updated. We've got our media replacement that we know that we need to do. And then we've got some distribution system issues that we need to work through. One of them would be on Norris. That's a big one, a big project that we have. We want to update our distribution pipes. And so that's an expensive project, too. That's an $18 million project. And in the past, we've done whatever we possibly could to try to keep the rates down as low as we can. But in doing so, you probably just shovel the problems to another day. And so there are years where we would have a 0% increase. You know, probably should have at least increased at the cost of living, from year to year, and just look at that CPI number and say, hey, it's 2% this year. We need to make sure that we're raising it 2%. But we had 5 years in a row where we didn't do anything. And again, I think it was probably a reflex attributable to the fact that, we had just done a big water treatment plant project. It was expensive. There was a lot of hurt feelings as a result of that. And so I think that the prior staffs and councils were kind of leery of trying to bring big rate changes at the time. And so, right or wrong, that's the history. And so when PFM comes in, they go through, they take a look at what those costs are going to be, and we know those two big projects are going to be expensive. $18 million on the water side, 12 to 15 on the wastewater side. And so they try to build a rate schedule around what we think we're going to need in order to make sure that we're able to produce and get good water to the community and then also extract the wastewater from the community. And so the rates that are being proposed as far as the increases for this upcoming year, it's 8.5% on with respect to the increase on the water side and 7.5% on the wastewater side, which is down. We actually massaged that number down. There are some things that had been built in there that were probably not necessary right now. There are some distribution side things on the sewer side, maybe some things that could be adjusted. So originally we were talking 9.5% and 8.5%, so we took a percentage point off of each one. But we got to figure out some way to address those two issues. And I know I've said it before, I probably sound like a broken record, but the two most important things that we do in this community are get water to the homes and the businesses, and then we extract the water, the wastewater from the residential facilities and the business facilities. And if we don't do those things and if we aren't meeting standards, then we're going to get zapped. So we all have to go ahead and make sure that we're doing whatever we can to assure that we've got, good drinking water and that we are able to get rid of our wastewater and do it in a way that's going to comply with state statutes and federal statutes. Otherwise, we know what happens. They're going to go ahead and penalize us until we do get in compliance. So this is a way for us to kind of get ahead of the game. So we had our first reading of the ordinance, the rate ordinances for both water and wastewater last night. And that passed on first reading. There'll be more discussions. And we are, very cognizant of the fact that there are people on fixed incomes and this really does impact them. But we really don't have a choice in the matter. And we'll look for other, funding mechanisms. Right now, that's what we're doing on our end, on the staff end. We're trying to come up with funding mechanisms. There is no SRF funding available right now. We're looking at maybe a joint USDA, and this is on the wastewater side. We're still working through the water side, but we're looking at maybe a private-public partnership between the USDA and maybe a private lender. We've been working with First National Bank of Omaha to try to come up with some numbers and see what we can do as far as, keeping that interest rate as low as possible. It's still kind of a work in progress. We've been working with Miller and Associates. Chris actually just sent out an email to USDA as far as trying to incorporate water into the wastewater side, because we're further along in the wastewater process than we are the water process. And I'd like to try to get water caught up so we could just roll everything into one nice neat ball. But it's going to, take some time as far as trying to work with the powers that be to help on the financing side. So a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, a lot of things that need to be done out there. We need to make sure that we're getting water, to the community and wastewater away from the community. And it's complicated by the fact that we're growing. You look around McCook right now, the North Point project's underway. You've got new housing over at Seminole. The industrial park's got projects going on right now. you hear about some of the projects that are in the offing right now, and you think, okay, we got to make sure that we're addressing those infrastructure needs immediately to account for the additional users. So lots of variables involved. And, you know, it's never fun to come in and say, hey, yeah, we got to go ahead and increase rates. But it's a legitimate need. If we don't do it, we're going to find ourselves in a world of hurt here pretty soon.
So we going back, you said 20 years ago. Are you surprised that back 20 years ago they didn't put a filter in?
I think that was kind of the standard. I don't know. Okay. I mean, I can't speak for what was going on at the time that predates me. I know that there's a lot of consternation with the water issue. You know, do you go to the north? Do you go to the south? You know, pros, cons, whatever. You know, we're here just dealing with the issues as they present themselves now, not casting aspersions on anyone else. But we got to take care of it, you know, and so I get it. Nobody wants to have, you know, discolored water, but also how do you do it without putting money into the system? And that's truly, you know, where we're at right now. We can complain and gripe and moan all we want, but until you actually get in there and fix the problem, griping doesn't do you any good. You know, and I would encourage people, as opposed to going onto Facebook, just give Pat Favre, myself, anybody over at the city a phone call, and we can say, hey, this is where we're at. Because it doesn't do any good to, I'm not going to say the word, to gripe and moan, because, you know, that doesn't address the issue. We got to figure out how to fix it. And you can't just gripe it away. You have to make sure that you're fixing the problem.
We were talking, Gene and I, and even Miranda got in on us right before the show started, that because I've never had a problem with discolored water in my house. And there's a lot of folks who have that. Unfortunately, some have.
Yeah.
But are there some other ways that folks can do at home to prevent this?
I mean, filtration systems, you know, that they were to install, that would help quite a bit. On our end, we're talking about maybe a flushing program. You know, one of the issues that we have is, you know, it's hard to work those valves without breaking the valves, and that's always been our concern. You break a valve, and you're talking $10,000 as far as replacement fees. So it's not just as easy as saying, hey, we're going to work the valve and flush the system, because then you may have a $10,000 price tag on the valve that you've just broken. So we've looked at trucks and equipment and whatnot to try to work those valves. But that's an expensive proposition. You know, and so on a personal level, yeah, you can go ahead and filter that at the head. And I know a lot of people that are out there, that's what they do. You know, on our end, you know, we're talking about what we can do to try to help out, but you're still going to have issues. And even with a filtration system at the headworks, you're still going to have issues because there's going to be sediment that's going to get through. And during peak use times, you're going to have displacement of that manganese. And so it's going to move from spot to spot. So this is the time of the year when people start irrigating where you're going to see it. And I know we're going to get, you know, maybe not phone calls, but there's going to be Facebook posts that are going to complain about it. But we do our best to try to address that. I wish people could understand that, because it's not that we want that to happen, and it's not that we're turning a blind eye to it. It's just more complicated than what people think. So it's a very expensive problem, you know. And like I said, $18 million, $14 million, I mean, that's a lot of cash to throw at the water and wastewater, but those are our two most important services that we provide. You don't have a community without water. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at right now.
All right, the first reading, there's two more readings after this, is that right?
Correct.
Yep. All right. And that leads us to council comments already.
There was nothing.
And no council comment. No announcements and no comments at the end. That's a
right.
Shocker, huh?
Yeah, I kind of rolled in last night. I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to make it, but I rolled in. I was trying to think, what do we have going on? And my mind was kind of foggy and blurry. I was like, I know we've got some stuff as far as I've been out for a couple of days, and I saw I had a new planning commission request and a new board of zoning adjustment request. And so we'll have some projects coming through this next month in addition to our regular council agenda items. So there'll be a planning commission meeting, and there's going to be a board of zoning adjustment meeting. But that won't be until April.
So when you're gone, do folks add to your chalkboard up there? Do they write, or is that specifically just you?
The only person that writes on there is my daughter, Abby. She sneaks on there, and she writes stupid stuff on there.
Right.
I think she knows that she needs to lighten up the mood in my office, and so she'll put stuff on there to make me laugh.
Right.
But I try to—I need to do it. The other day, before I was gone, I was trying to add to the list. I was like, it's going to be easier if I just do it on paper right now, so that way I could share it with Tara and Leanne and Pat and Kyle. There's just a lot of great projects. Just look around McCook right now, and those are all things that the city council has had a hand in. Those are things that the MEDC has had a hand in. I know for a while we were stagnant, but since I've been city manager over the course of the last 10 years, the council, MEDC, we've all been working together to try to get some of these projects off the ground, and the fruits of our labors are starting to be seen right now, because it takes a long time to get these things up and going.
I know it's not on the agenda, but pool is going okay?
Yeah, we didn't have another meeting with Carruthers. Those guys are going like gangbusters right now. I'm impressed. Every time I go up there, I see something new that's coming up. My understanding was the Mason's going to start working this week. I think that the brick's been delivered. I guess I wasn't looking yesterday, so I shouldn't say that for sure. But the plan is to start building the bathhouse. You can see that the plumbing has been initially installed. Everything seems to be going pretty well. I haven't heard anything differently. I was actually just talking to Tara yesterday, and she had mentioned the possibility of doing a Masonic temple capstone ceremony. I think maybe in May is what we were talking about. I don't know if it was April 18th or May 18th. I can't remember what date it was. Mm-hmm. But that bathhouse is going to go up fast. And if you look at the facility, you can see, I mean, it's kind of cool. I got up on the bleachers the other day so that way I could look down on it and you can see all the projects. I think they're doing the zero entry right now. But all the projects, as they kind of come about, you can see exactly where everything is located and how everything ties into one another, and it's really cool. I mean, we started meeting with the swimming pool committee back in 2015, and it takes a while for these things to happen, and you got to go through the bond process, and you got to go through the imagining process, and you've got to try to make sure that you're getting the best product out there and thinking about all the different issues that may pop up. Do you take it to the Y? Do you keep it at the current location? All those different things come into play. And so those are conversations that take, and you've got volunteers that are devoting their time freely. So you can't just say, we're going to meet exactly at this time on this date. You got to try to find a time that works for everyone. And so all these things take time, but I just would encourage people, drive around McCook. Look at all the things that are going on right now. The college has got stuff going on. I can't wait to, I told Abby today, I said, I can't wait to use a bathroom over at the track. It's so exciting. The Crow's Nest bathroom was never my favorite place to use the restroom, but I think I might go ahead and pop a cork when I go into the new bathroom or something as a celebration. So I spent a lot of time down at that track over the years, and those bathrooms were not the nicest. So you've got the new concession stand, the brand new track looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. All the different things at the YMCA and the school are talking about right now, different projects. I mean, this is exciting, and I hope that people are excited because I'm jacked right now. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what happens over the next few years.
Next McCook City Council meeting for the month of April coming up is April 1st. How did that happen? On April Fool's Day. How did that happen?
Yeah.
So, guys, thank you very much. City Manager Nate Schneider, thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
You bet. We'll probably maybe see a little tennis today.
I'm ready for it.
Yep, you betcha. Councilman Gene Wheaton, keep up the good work.
Thank you.